The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It is the 29th of August today, and those who pay attention to this sort of thing might be mindful of the fact that 20 years ago today, New Orleans and the surrounding area was being devastated by Hurricane Katrina. It's hard to imagine 2 decades have passed since, but two people who will remember it vividly are with me, Gene Whitfield and Michael Layden. They're on the line. Gene and Michael, you're both very welcome to the show, and thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us. Gene, can you bring us back maybe in the days leading up to Hurricane Katrina, when, you know, we knew it was coming, you knew it was coming, and remind us of what warnings were issued and what preparations were happening?
Yes, indeed. The couple of days leading up to the hurricane, the weather was beautiful, the city was vibrant, and it was through the announcements on the TV about an impending hurricane, we gradually became more aware of the circumstances that were going to face us. And then the mayor of New Orleans announced an evacuation, mandatory evacuation of the city. And that became very real for us all of a sudden, because we had no way of getting out of the city unless you had your own car, your own form of transport. Everywhere was shut. So you'd no means of getting out to relative safety. But our hotel very kindly ensured that everybody would be safe in the hotel. They'd been through hurricanes before, that, you know, we'd ride out the storm, so to speak. So the more we realised, you know, about what was going to happen, we tried to be prepared as best we could. So the hotel was very accommodating.
Yeah.
Very reassuring what information they could share with us. And yeah, so we tried our best beforehand to be prepared.
And at what point then over the coming days did you realise that, you know, this was going to be a catastrophic event?
Well, probably realised probably during the hurricane itself. Because up to that, I was thinking myself personally, I was like, oh, okay, I wonder how bad a hurricane can actually be. I was probably a little bit naive when it comes to the weather. I was thinking it could be a really bad storm, you know, in Ireland, maybe a little bit worse. A lady I used to work with, her in-laws were living in Florida, and they would often talk about hurricanes, and I probably should have paid a little bit more attention. So like the night before the hurricane arrived, everything was very calm. Everybody was just very chilled and relaxed. And it was during the night then, when the hurricane made landfall, you could hear the howling of the wind outside. You could hear debris hitting off the side of the hotel. Thankfully, nothing came through our window, but you could hear glass breaking, loud bangs, loud noises. And we just huddled down and just waiting for the next day to arrive when the hurricane would have passed through. But I've never heard anything so loud in my life. The wind was just the loudest I could ever imagine it could be.
Yeah. Michael, can you remember what was going through your mind through all of this, at this point?
Well, I think up until, you know, the hurricane hits, like the locals and including the hotel, like they were so, I suppose, reassuring. They had been through so many other hurricanes, and it was, you know, hurricane season, so they were expecting, you know, storms. They were inviting in their employees, whether it was, you know, specific to Hurricane Katrina or not, or whether this was something that they did, you know, when any hurricane approached. But like all of their employees were coming in, their pets and everything else. The way that they were kind of portraying things, it was just a case of, like, you know, just wait it out and just assess, you know, what happens afterwards. So like we were kind of reassured by that. Like, as Gene said, like we didn't really know what to expect. We obviously were expecting power outages and all of that. Like we had stocked up on some water and stuff like that. But Monday morning, like, you know, in the aftermath, trying to, I suppose, get food in the hotel, like, you know, it was pandemonium. The regular, I suppose, routines that you would have in a hotel were gone out the window. They were trying to, I suppose, like, feed everybody that was there, trying to take care of everybody. You couldn't leave the hotel on the Monday. It was unsafe to do so. So it was just kind of waited out, hunkered down. They were providing as much food as they could possibly, you know, share with people. So that was the Monday. The Tuesday, we were actually able to get out of the hotel. They opened the doors of the hotel. And it was then just venturing out. So the hotel that we were in was in the French Quarter. So once you, I suppose, made your way to Canal Street, the main street, you could see that the water was beginning to rise. Where we were, there was, you know, plenty of damage. I suppose buildings that had partially collapsed on cars and stuff like that. But that was our first taste of kind of the damage. And even the locals, I think at that stage, you know, like, not all of the levees had broke. So the full extent of the catastrophe that was about to happen, I don't think was fully, people were fully aware of it.
So, Gene, talk us through then, you know, the breaking of the levees and what came afterwards and how you guys experienced that.
Yes. So staff in our hotel, obviously, they, you know, live throughout New Orleans, and they would have checked their housing the day after the hurricane hit. But then shortly after that, the levees failed, and like their houses were completely underwater, destroyed. So at that point, the next morning, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know whether the hotel was going to be flooded, the street outside, could we even get out of the hotel? So we were very lucky where our hotel was situated. It was like a higher spot within the city. So everywhere around us was flooded completely. So we were able to assess that, you know, the streets were flooded around us, but thankfully we weren't where the hotel was. So we were able to still get some deliveries from local businesses who took pity on the hotel. They had spare food to share. And the hotel staff, again, I'll say, they just lost absolutely everything. Their homes, their possessions, maybe even loved ones had passed. But they were there. They were helping us. They were wanting us to get home to Ireland. Anybody who was staying in the hotel, they just wanted to make sure that they were okay, even though they had lost absolutely everything. And it was just so nice to see that the spirit of New Orleans was still there. And it makes it a very special city.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have fond memories, obviously, before the hurricane. And even after the hurricane, those memories will stay with us forever.
And Michael, people will remember some of those stories, you know, of people putting their own lives in the line, you know, rescuers and what have you. And like anything, you know, that happens along these lines, you see the best of humanity, and I guess you see the worst then is the other side of it, and people will remember as well some really awful stories emerging from New Orleans around this time. Did you guys experience any of that? Did you see it, or was it just through news headlines you were, you know, consuming of this?
I think like on the Wednesday, like there was a group of about 50 tourists that were left in the hotel, apart from the employees. So we had made a decision that we would try and make our way out. I think our initial plan was to go as far as the convention centre. But somebody had said, I think, outside of the hotel that it was very dangerous to go there. So we were, I think, really trying to walk out of the city. Now, a group of, you know, 50 tourists, we stood out like a sore thumb. There was a lot of looting going on. You could see you know, lots of, you know, trolleys and everything else stacked high with different gear and everything else. And, you know, you could hear gunshots in the distance. Thankfully, none too close to us. But like when we were making our way away from the hotel, because the hotel at this stage on the Wednesday, they were saying that they were, you know, running out of food. Now, we had tried. I think we had put cash together, a group of tourists to try and get some buses to take us out. But on the Wednesday evening, we had learned that they had been commandeered by the National Guard as they actually entered the city. So at that point, we were just saying, right, no, we need to leave the hotel. So on the Thursday morning, we made the decision to walk out of the city. So we got as far as the bottom of Canal Street, which again is the main street. And we stopped, I think it was on the steps of a casino, because there was a police encampment opposite. And we thought, like, you know, it was a safe enough place to stop. Now, some of the police did say, like, you know, do not go to the convention centre, because I think at that stage some stories were beginning to emerge of the chaos that was there and how dangerous it was. So we set off from, you know, where we were, and we definitely saw a few unsavory characters that were, you know, circling around in pickup trucks and stuff like that. We got to an overpass, and there was a, you know, two squad cars that were, you know, up at the brow of the hill, as it were. Now, they were firing warning shots because, like, obviously a group of 50 tourists making their way towards them. Now, one of the we actually had befriended a group of four others in the hotel. And as it turns out, one of those was originally from a lady from Carlo. And yeah. One of the other ladies then, her mum was from Cavan and her dad from Ardra. So, like, we were very lucky with the people that we met up with. But, like, the six of us then, like, we were nearly inseparable. So when we tried to walk out, Marie went up, you know, and spoke to the police. And they said, look, if you approach, we're going to fire on you. So at that point, it was a case of trying to make our way back into the city. So we said, right, the safest place was opposite where the police encampment was. So we set up there for the night, and it was probably the best meal that we had. It was US Army rations. So we had that on the Thursday night as we slept on the steps. We discovered later that there was a body around the back of where we were actually encamped that night. In the middle of the night, there was a massive explosion from the far side of the river. One of the oil refineries had gone up. Now, that caused a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos. The Friday morning, one of the sort of American school buses pulled up. Now, there was an old lady that was, she was in one of those hotel porter, you know, carts for suitcases. And we thought that it was going to, you know, take her to safety. But as it turns out, she required more specialised medical care. So they just let us out on the bus. So at that stage, everybody was just trying to pile on the bus as best we could. We thought that they were going to take us, you know, to Dallas, because that's where we had heard that a lot of buses were going. But what actually happened is that they just brought us to the outskirts of the city and left us on the side of a highway. There was already about 3,000 or 4,000 people there, and had been for a number of days. So with the conditions and everything else, you can only imagine what it was like.
I can't imagine what it was like, I guess, is the reality of it. I mean, Jean, have you been back to New Orleans since? Would you go back?
Well, we originally thought we might go back for our 10th wedding anniversary, but that didn't quite happen. We have been back to the States, to New York, to visit Marie and Kathy, which is because we're still in very much contact with them. They're the people we met in the hotel. And, like, I've often thought about going back to New Orleans, maybe for our 20th anniversary, but I still have nightmares where I'm back in New Orleans on a lovely holiday and a hurricane hits, and I'm telling myself, why did I go back? I'm trapped. I can't get out. So if I was to go back, I would make sure it would be out of hurricane season with absolutely no possible whatever for hurricane happening. But it's a lovely city. So we definitely would love to go back at some stage. But it's not. Just not there yet.
No, you. Understandable. Listen, we thank you both very much for sharing the story with us and reminding us of just how chaotic everything was in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and hard to imagine, as I said at the outset, it's two decades ago. Jean Whitfield and Michael Layden, who experienced the whole thing firsthand.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.